What if I told you that your life could be completely transformed through meditation? Welcome to Meditate on This, an inspiring podcast where I share true life stories of people whose lives have been completely transformed through meditation. I am your host, Angela Accomando, and I can't wait to go on this journey with you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Meditate on This podcast. I am really excited to have my friend Janira on. She is a desire-based life coach, and she is an amazing woman. Just her Facebook post alone will really ignite some deep thinking in you. And so I want to welcome you, Janira.
Hi, Angela. It's so good to be here. Thanks for the warm welcome.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you on because, you know, I know Janira and we've gone to classes together, but I don't know what brought her to meditation. And so when we talked before, I said, don't tell me now, leave it for the podcast because I want to be surprised with everybody else. So I'll start off with that. What brought you to meditation? Out of all the things that a person could do in the world, what made you come to meditation?
It's actually kind of random. I was a big party girl back in college, I think as many of us were. And I had this friend, this older friend, Michelle, who like I really looked up to. She was a couple years older, super cool, like knew about all the best underground parties in Brooklyn. But she was also interesting because she was very into spirituality. And I was just getting into spirituality, like just like dipping my toe in. I, you know, did yoga back then and read some books, but I had never really like done anything deep. And she told me about some cool teachers like Pema Chodron and I'm blanking on names right now, but some other big spiritual teachers. And then I started reading their books, getting really into it. And then she told me about Vipassana, you know, the 10-day silent meditation retreat. I think she was about to do it or something. And she's like, you got to try it. And me being like, you know, the fangirl of Michelle, I was like, I'll do it. Not really knowing anything, not asking many questions. I signed up for it. It was my senior year in college. I signed up for it. Vipassana always has a long waiting list. So it wasn't until months and months later, around my 21st birthday, actually, that I got to do my first real meditation real meditation sessions, because all I had ever done prior to that was like at the end of yoga class, like for 2 minutes. So I went in for a deep dive because of my friend Michelle.
Wow. So you went from pretty much not really doing any meditation to a Vipassana retreat?
Yep. Crazy. I'm a deep diver.
Yeah, it's interesting because several other guests had the same experience. And I'm like, Vipassana is no joke. Yeah. I did one for one day in Queens. And even though I've done silent retreats, the Vipassana was just, it's on a whole other level. So to go from like, I don't really meditate at all to like, I'm going to do a Vipassana retreat. So how did that go for you during the retreat?
Oh my God. So again, I was 21 and a party girl. So you can only imagine, I had a lot of stuff come up because back then, you know, I was very disconnected from myself, from like, even though I was doing yoga and stuff, I was disconnected from my internal world. And well, when you have nothing but meditation to do for 16 hours a day, because it's so intense, that practice, all your stuff starts to come up. So I felt like I was going insane, as you've probably heard many people say. You know, I had no problem being, even though I partied and, you know, was very social, I had no problem being alone. I'm also a Virgo, so I like my me time. So I thought I'd be fine. But the thing that was so intense was being in a room full of people, not being able to talk, not only that, but hearing the nonstop chatter of my mind. It was so, I felt like, I just felt crazy. And it was so intense because I think maybe on the second or third day, I just couldn't stop thinking about my childhood, my family upbringing, my anger, deep-seated anger that I'd repressed because I was told it was bad. And I was doing everything to not have to feel it and not cry. But eventually I broke open, of course. So yeah. It was really intense and then very healing. I had some profound experiences throughout the 10 days, which I can share more about.
And so, yeah, share with us, because I mean, I just love, you're always very vulnerable and you're an open book, and you know, there aren't a lot of people like that out there. And that's one of the things that I really love about you is you do not sugarcoat anything. Anytime you post stuff, I'm like, oh, she has me thinking now.
Yeah, it wasn't always this way. It's been a journey. And that's actually a big part of my meditation experience, leading me to be so vulnerable. But it wasn't quite Vipassana that did that. I'll talk about what did in a moment. But at that retreat, I felt like I was on drugs, right? Like I said, I was a party girl. So I definitely dabbled in that. And here at this retreat, being totally sober and then having like flashbacks of stuff and intense visions, I felt like I was on something. And I felt like I couldn't control it. Like there was just all this empty space for my system to get flooded with all the backlog of stuff. So like, you know, I had the family things come up. And then I also started to see how I was showing up in my life, in my friendships, in my relationships. Like I had my first experience of seeing myself as the observer. Like I remember having this moment sitting there and being like, oh, wow. Like I am here thinking and feeling all of these thoughts and emotions, but I'm noticing myself thinking and feeling like the anger, the sadness, all of it. Who is this? What is this? And I also had this really trippy vision of seeing myself in a scene where I had exploded with anger, because back then, you know, I would try to hold it down so much that eventually, you know, when I couldn't contain it anymore, it would erupt and it would be rage, real huge rage on those closest to me. And I had this moment of really seeing myself do that, like as if I was like a fly on the wall, and it was horrific. It was great. I mean, afterwards it was amazing, illuminating, and it caused a lot of awareness around how I engage with people and how I engage with my emotions. But in that moment, it was like, I had a lot of shame come up. I'm that person. I do that. I treat people this way. This is awful. Yeah. It was a big wake up call for me.
Yeah, I can relate to that, because people usually see me as the very smiley. I'm always smiling, but I would have fits of rage. And now when I look back, I am like, wow, I feel exactly what you said. You took the words out of my mouth. Like, wow, I was that person. And, you know, having that shame, you know, having to, you know, I've been trying to work through that shame of, you know, letting it go. But yeah, feeling like I really didn't want to do that to these people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to have to face yourself in that way, to confront yourself. And if there's a willingness to like move past the shame and the resistance, right, you can get so much gold. You can get so much awareness and healing, because you can see, oh, this is who I am. These are my habits, and decide, do I like this? Is this working for me? Do I want to be this person? Right. So I got that from that experience. At least I'm going to be honest, just the first seeds of those kinds of questions coming to my mind and those kinds of decisions starting to churn, because it wasn't like I changed completely after that, but it was a big awakening.
Yeah.
And also an awakening around a lot of stuff I had to heal from my past with my family.
Mm. And so you finished the retreat. Was it a 10-day?
10-day, yeah.
10-day. That is intense. So you finished the retreat, and then what?
So I was living at home because I'd graduated college. I moved back home, and I went back home feeling so open and loving. Like I felt like, oh, I forgive my family, because I spent so much time like processing all of the trauma and all the abuse and the hurt. And I was like, oh, I understand where they're coming from and why, you know, they're traumatized and abused. And I was like, I'm just going to love now and not be this angry, hurt person anymore. And that lasted for a little bit. I remember a friend came to visit and I just gave her the warmest hug. And she's like, whoa, like this thing changed you. And I did practice a little bit of meditation. I didn't do like the 2 hours a day like they recommend, but I did get up like at 5 a.m. for a little bit to do 1 hour. But all of it faded. I'm going to be really honest. All the triggers with family started coming up. Resentment that I hadn't fully healed, that I just like told myself I healed because I wanted to just like quickly bypass it, and bypass like the deep stewing in it, the deep unfolding that's actually necessary to heal. And I didn't keep up with the practice either. I was just like, got lazy. So yeah, I regressed quite intensely. And then, yeah, I didn't have to face anything really for a long time because I set off to travel the world shortly thereafter, and I was gone for 2 years. So I didn't have to really look at my stuff. I don't know if I can curse here. I was about to.
And so what was it that finally made you look at your stuff?
Yeah. So this is the part you don't know about, I don't think. It was many years later, like for me now, almost 5 years later. So 5 years ago, excuse me. So I can't do the math, but whatever. It was years later that I started to really wake up to how miserable I was and how much I was repressing. I was dating this, what I call a checklist guy. Like he was like met all the requirements on my checklist. He was good looking and lived near me. Up until then, everything was like long distance. So that was a big deal. It, you know, checklist. You made a lot of money, whatever. And I had an awesome career. I was a fashion photographer, blah, blah, blah. My life was great on paper. But
on paper, I love that.
It was not, girl. It was, I don't want to say a hot mess because really, like, I was keeping it together, but it was so deeply unfulfilling. Like even my friendships, my relationships at that time I always felt like people didn't see me, like they didn't really know me, like I couldn't be myself. And if I'm honest, it wasn't because of other people. It was because I just didn't know how to be vulnerable back then. And I also chose to befriend people that seemed cool rather than people that I had a real connection with. And so anyway, there was one night with this guy actually that I was dating that after we had sex, well, during sex, I was just lying there, like just not feeling anything at all and just waiting for it to be done. And after this was over, I felt like this knot in my throat and this heat in my chest and face. And I felt like I wanted to cry. And I rolled over just pretending I was fine, like pretending I was going to sleep. And I let him fall asleep, and I just stayed up all night. I wanted to cry, and I couldn't cry, and like nothing was moving. It was all just stuck in my body. And I tend to have really intense experiences. Like, so it, again, was a very trippy night with all this stuff coming to my mind, just about how much was trapped in there. Like I had a sense that the well was much deeper than just the dissatisfaction of the sex from that evening. I saw how I didn't even really connect with this guy. Like it was just so superficial. I saw how that was like the case with all my relationships. I saw that was the case with my work, you know, it was glamorous and cool. I started to see it and I started to feel the pain of it. And I remembered something a friend told me about, actually a former client turned friend told me about a year prior, which was this practice called orgasmic meditation. It just came to me that night and I was like, I don't know why, I got to check out that thing. And part of it was because the sex was so dissatisfying. And I thought that this guy was amazing, that it was like, it should be great. Like what's wrong with me? I need to fix this. But yeah, the practice, going toward this practice of orgasmic meditation actually was about way more than sex. And mm-hmm. it was the catalyst to me actually really turning toward myself, my emotions, and doing the deep healing.
Wow. So I have never heard of this type of meditation. Mm-hmm. So can you, what is it like? And tell me about it.
Yeah. So it's a 15-minute partnered practice. So you do it with somebody else. You choose who, and you basically get your clitoris stroked for the 15 minutes with no goal other than to feel, right? Mm. So even though the name is orgasmic meditation, it's not about trying to create a climax, you know, like a orgasm. It's really the phrase in this meditation stands for being in, like being able to feel orgasm or sensation, really, that's a good synonymous term, in any moment, opening yourself up to feel everything. That is the premise of the practice, right? So for 15 mm-hmm. minutes, you lie there, stroking happens, you can adjust and give some direction, but really you're just opening to feel whatever wants to move through you.
Wow. And so do you do this every day and like once or twice a day or?
Well, at first I was extremely resistant. Like I went to the class to learn it and, I did it for the first time and it was, so much was illuminated to me. It was extremely triggering, I have to admit. I said, somebody asked me to do it with them and I said, yes, but I actually wanted to say no to this person. I didn't feel comfortable with them, but I did it. And, afterwards, and even during, like, there were some moments that were uncomfortable and I could tell he was fumbling and I wanted to like adjust him, but I didn't know what to say. And so afterwards, when it was done, the bell went off. I, you know, just put my pants back on and got up and I left the room to go to the bathroom and I just burst into tears, like just, and mind you, right. So that night, Angela, with the other guy, I wanted to cry and I couldn't. And then in this moment after my first orgasmic meditation experience, I just sobbed uncontrollably. And it was my first time actually crying in 12 years.
Wow.
So yeah, I had just had not let myself feel sadness for a long time. I thought it was a weak, pathetic emotion. So I cried uncontrollably. And once I calmed down, I realized that it was because I had said yes when I wanted to say no. And then I didn't speak up for myself at any other point along the way. And I realized that this was a deep habit I had throughout all my life, all my relationships, especially with men. And so anyhow, it was a great realization, but it was so triggering. I didn't trust myself to be able to say no. And I didn't do the practice at all for 2 months and then slowly started to do it with like a couple friends who were practicing every couple days or something, not so often. And then what happened in the process, though, because I was doing it at a really gentle pace, and it was, and it is a practice that's so much about the physical body, essentially de-thawing, like unnumbing everything that's been frozen over. I did that so gently that eventually I really started to melt open and trust myself and trust men and feel actually sensation in my body again, not just sensation, but you know, like because I was numb down there for sure, but also emotion. Like I would cry in some of my sessions. I would feel myself getting angry, my jaw gritting, and that would move through me. And so anyway, as I started to unnumb and heal, I began to do the practice more. And it did eventually become an everyday practice.
Wow.
Do it once or twice a day. And now I do it every so often, right, with my partner. But
sounds really powerful.
One of the most profound things I've ever done, especially a huge catalyst for me on this path of the last 5 years.
Yeah,
it actually unnumbing.
It reminds me. I'm sure you know Mama Gina.
Yeah, she's actually a practitioner of orgasmic
meditation. Okay, because I was going to say, that's, you know, I've read her book and I've gone to one of her like weekend workshop things. Yes. And, you know, at first you're kind of like, you know, you're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to come back.
Totally.
But yeah, that really sounds like, first of all, like a lot of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And yeah, just feel, so that's, thank you for sharing that so openly. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm going to look into it. It's really interesting because I, you know, myself have numbed a lot and have a lot of stuff to work through. And so on top of this meditation, what other types of meditation do you do?
So I'm happy to answer that, but I want to say one quick thing, mm-hmm. Which is why this practice was so transformative for me and why it was something that I was able to stick with, you know, over that length of time versus Vipassana, which I, you know, I did for a couple of weeks or whatever. For me, those other like practices back then, mm-hmm. when I was such a good number and just, you know, distractor from myself and from mm-hmm. my deep feelings, I would use those other kinds of spiritual practices as ways to spiritually bypass my emotions. Like I would be like, oh, it's time to like, you know, control my emotions, control my thoughts, like control my experience and just be Zen. I thought this is what this is about. And that's not what was taught, but that's how I used those practices, right? Because it was just another way for me to like not have to be with discomfort when it was arising, because I didn't want to be. And because OM, which is short for orgasmic meditation, OM, is the opposite, right? It was all about the body. It was all about like, here you are 15 minutes feeling something, you know, that's usually a really high sensation, touching a clitoris. Mm-hmm. Even if you're numb, it's just high sensation because it's such a vulnerable act. Mm-hmm. And here I was like having no choice but to be in my body, but to be in my feelings. And my soul really felt like this, like I know that that's what my soul needed and wanted. And so I was able to, even in all the moments that I had intense resistance and didn't want to do it, knew that this was it. I think that's why I stuck with it versus anything else for those years. But I mean, even till now, I still practice. And I think that's actually what's not only like help me heal and transform and be able to feel and be vulnerable and heal my relationships with men and call an amazing partner, so many things, but it's allowed me to then come back to my spirituality, because I'll be honest, I put it all down for a while, regular meditation. I just put all that stuff down, new age spiritual books, just put all that down because I was using it. I know. And I just needed a break. And so now I've come back to it and I do a lot of my practices. I do Vipassana sometimes. I do just, you know, we take class together sometimes. So I do some traditional Buddhist meditations. I'll do sound meditations. I'll put on some singing bowls from YouTube. I definitely don't have the bowls myself. And I'll just use the practices now in the way that they're intended to be with myself and really go inward. And to be honest, I'm a very feminine practitioner. So that meaning like not, I won't say not, but meaning that I listen to what my body is asking of me on a day-to-day basis. I'm not rigid and like, I must today do this thing. Like no matter what, I must do this style of meditation. I'm like, what is my body actually asking of me? Right.
That's amazing. That's a powerful thing. So if somebody wanted to begin to embark on this type of meditation, because this is not something where you're just like walking into a, you know, average meditation class, where, how can people start this or on their own or like, can you, or I don't know, how can people try this out, this style of meditation?
Yeah. So it's a partnered practice. So it's something that you have to do with somebody else. Even if you're not in a relationship, you can do it and find partners. Right now with the situation we're all in, COVID-19, probably if you're single, not going to happen, but there are communities around the world in different cities of practitioners. So once you can connect again socially, right, you can learn the practice and then connect with other practitioners in your area and practice together as you connect with people and feel comfortable. Coaches like myself, trained orgasmic meditation coaches, can set you up with that network.
That's what I was going to ask you, is this something you teach your clients?
Yeah. Often you know, a lot of my clients want to learn this practice or come to learn this practice at some point in our work, because so much of the work that I do is about, similar to my journey, on numbing, on, you know, peeling away the layers to, you know, the deepest parts of you. So yes, I do teach this. There used to be an organization called One Taste that taught this practice. They're still around, but not in the same form. Like, they would do classes and stuff teaching this to groups of people, but unfortunately that's gone away. So right now it's up to coaches like myself to train people who want to learn.
And I feel like now, I mean, you know, you and I are in New York, so we've just been told that we're going to be in the house for at least another month, right? For sure. Could be longer. Yeah. And I feel like this is such a great time now to, you know, try things like this out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you don't have the distractions of, well, I have work and this, that, and the other. Some of us are still working at home, but it's still nowhere near as busy as we normally are.
Totally.
Can you share with everyone that's listening, what are things that they can do right now to begin to go within? Because this is a great opportunity for us to go within and heal some things while we're here just sitting. I mean, I know for me, things have been coming up that I did not even foresee. And it's interesting how the universe will, you know, bring it wherever you're at. It's like, exactly. Oh, like, I've been having a hard time, like, just sitting down and meditating because everyone in my family is home all the time. And, you know, so my meditations haven't been that great. But the universe is like, well, I'm going to bring up that trigger. Like, you're going to be on social media. I'll find you there, you know? So I mean, things are going to come up for people, whether it's, I can't go out and do what I want to do, or I feel trapped, or I feel controlled by the government, or anything. So what are some things that people can begin to do while they're home?
What's funny, the thought I had when you were talking is that this is the extended global Vipassana for everyone.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Maybe it's not a silent retreat, but yes, this is a deep, you know, period for us, for all of us, right? A lot of intensity in the world, a lot of scary things happening. We don't know how long it's going to go on for, and all that there is, you know, the opportunity to either distract, and we can do that a million ways, TV and social media and whatever, or to turn inward, to listen, to get curious. And so, oh, you can do both as well. You know, I definitely still watch Netflix, but it's a really big opportunity. And so the way I've been navigating it is going deeper into my practices. You know, and I created a space for women and men to learn these practices if they want to start turning inward and they've never really given themselves the opportunity, or if this period of time is really like pushing them toward that. Because I think for so many people, especially those who have distracted and numbed either through their work, look at our culture, our American culture is so much about work, 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 produce, 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 go, 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 stay busy. And now here we are in this extended pause, like now we don't have those distractions. So I created a space for that. And the kinds of things that I recommend are the things that I'm teaching and that I'm doing myself. It's writing practices. You know, one of my favorite, there's so many that I use tools to excavate the fear and the anxiety and the sadness and grief and whatever. But there's one in particular, which is super simple. That's just like stream of consciousness writing, dumping out everything that's in your head, giving it voice, giving it permission, you know, whatever wants to come out. If it's like, I'm rageful today and I hate this situation and I hate this person, great, let it out, let it move through you. Or, you know, whatever it looks like. That's one of the simplest of the many that I teach. And then another one, because this, you know, it's such an important practice, to connect to the body, right? Orgasmic meditation is not the only way. And actually, like, for clients that don't want to learn that practice or are single right now and at home alone, like, the other way that you can have similar results is to just allow yourself to go inside and feel the sensation connected to your emotions, right? If it's sadness, can you allow yourself to feel that knot in the throat? Can you allow yourself to feel the tightness in your chest and the warmth on your face? And can you turn toward it and get curious about what it's asking you to feel, what it's asking you to look at, what it needs from you, right? It might need you to cradle yourself, to take a long bath, to call somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, to forgive something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's a big practice that I use. Those, and there's other ones too, but those two, I think if you just do those alone, you're going to get deep healing because there's going to be so much excavated and moved through you.
Mm. And if somebody wanted to start a meditation practice during this time, what advice would you give them?
That's a good question. I would say get support. You know, it's hard to do this on your own. Either work with somebody who's a meditation instructor or do some online classes or even get an app like I use Insight Timer, right? Get mm-hmm. something where you can actually have support. And then the second is don't be too hard on yourself. This is something I wish I had learned in the beginning. It's just like, do not expect your mind to be peaceful and perfect and clear mm-hmm. of all thoughts. Allow it to be like a monkey. Allow all the discomfort to come up, emotions included, and know and trust that that's part of the process.
Mm.
Right? Be gentle.
Mm.
And also start with a simple practice. You mm-hmm. know, don't be so ambitious. Like mm-hmm. simple practice of connecting to the breath.
I like that. Don't be so ambitious, because I feel like that's where people quote unquote fail, is they just want to go from I've never done this to I'm going to be a pro all of a sudden.
Totally.
And instead of just saying, you know what, I'm going to sit for a minute or two, you know, and every day add a little bit more, or maybe yes. not, or just sit with those minute or two for as long as yes. I can until I'm ready to go to the next step.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It like, I did that with my practice with orgasmic meditation, super gentle. And that's how I was able to stick with it.
Mm.
Right. Any amount of force or pressure you put on yourself actually just causes contraction and more resistance, or numbing actually, because you're trying to push past something that's, you know, that's there, that wants your attention. So can you do things a little bit differently? Can you take yeah. your time?
Yeah. And what would you say is the most powerful thing that meditation gave you?
This I got mostly from my orgasmic meditation practice, but it's very much available in other practices, especially where you do body scans and track sensation, is this ability to be with any sensation and emotion, to be with any emotion, excuse me, and to relate to it as sensation.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than getting taken out by my sadness or my anger or grief, even like letting it completely overwhelm me or making it wrong and pushing it away, I get to actually just feel it in a physical form and drop into it and give space to it.
Mm.
And then through that, I get to move through whatever is coming up for me.
Mm.
That's one of the deepest things.
That's really powerful, because I think that's one of the biggest things that most of the population does, is just push away that feeling, like you said, of it's right, it's wrong. You know, this is okay mm-hmm. to feel, but that's not okay to feel.
Right.
And we need to feel it all.
Right. I mean, if that's our human work, is to feel it all.
Yeah. You know,
and to find permission for it and to use it.
Yeah. And I also love how you said you get up and just see what type of meditation your body needs.
Mm. Yeah, that's I'm at really that point powerful. Now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at that point now where I can do that. You know, and I'm doing that in my group, where I have the people in the group, deep practice group, like check in, see how they're feeling, see what's coming up for them. And then based on what I feel in the collective space, I'm like, all right, I think these are the practices we're going to do for the next hour together, right? But it wasn't like that in the beginning. I needed to just have one thing, be dedicated to that, and then, you know, over time I cultivated this like intuitive ability because it's all based on feeling.
Yeah. And you said it's men and women in the group.
Yes.
I love that because one of my biggest passions that I've come across the last couple years is, you know, the work of what we've done in society to men, not allowing them to feel their feelings. And a couple years ago, the NFL had paid me to take my domestic violence story. And I met this this man named Tony Porter, who runs this organization called A Call to Men. And it's all about healthy masculinity and getting men out of the man box and allowing them to be emotional. And it was so profound to me because I also realized what I was doing. I have three boys of my own, you know, two are men actually. And I'm like, you know, some of the things you don't realize because it's just society, you know, like, oh, you're crying. Stop being like a girl. You know, we don't realize what all of what we're saying in a statement like that. So it's amazing that you have opened it to, because there's a lot of women's only group, which I appreciate, but I'm like, men, you know, men need these practices too, you know, like we need to heal as a whole human species.
Exactly. Yeah. This is not just women's work. Like absolutely not. Being human, as you said, and feeling is work for all of us, right? So many of us, including men, maybe especially men because of that deep conditioning, have that deeply embedded trauma and emotion just backlogged and stuck in there. I mean, you know, there's no proof of this, but I think that's a big reason why men die younger and have, you know, certain health issues. They're repressing a lot.
Yeah.
And that causes a huge toll on the body.
Yeah. Have you read the book, The Body Keeps Score by Bessel? Yeah. I haven't read through the whole thing, but I've read some of it and it's really, it just made me think of it.
Yeah, The Body Keeps the Score is true. Like that book itself is true, but like that phrase is very true. And I know it, unfortunately, and fortunately, because it's such a lesson from my own experience. Because, you know, one thing I didn't share about the thing that got me to move toward this orgasmic meditation practice was not only that there was so much unhappiness, but that I was suffering from a lot of health issues at that time. Like my thyroid, my digestion, my skin, my energy, chronic fatigue. It was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I really believed that so much of that had to do with how much I was just stuffing down. And I did see it, you know, the results of unnumbing and feeling and excavating all that stuff start to heal those physical symptoms.
Wow.
That's amazing. And so I really believe in that.
And so if somebody wanted to join your group, how can they do so?
Contact me at my website's janiramartinez.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I do have some info about it on my website, but
I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah. What's your Instagram handle?
Janira_Martinez.
Okay. I'll put it all in the show notes. That way if, you know, anyone's out there like, wait, I'd like to try this and I'd like to join the group. You know, I always, I want this to be a platform for people to hear and connect to at least one story and say, I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to start walking forward on this path to something new in my life and see what happens, you know?
I love that you're creating space for people to have this. There's so many people who I think are ready and just need that one sign.
Yes.
That's all
one person they connect with, that one person that they're like, wow, I can really relate to, you know, this person. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh boy, there's so many things. I definitely have to have you on again so we can talk about other things.
I'd love that.
In more depth, and because there's so much, you know, you have to offer people. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask, so besides the Vipassana meditation retreat, have you done other meditation retreats? Like have you done any other silent ones?
No, I've just gone back to Vipassana several times and done.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've done those. I really connect to that practice because it is so much about being with the sensation. Like, I don't know how much you're aware of it, but like the big part of the practice is body scan, tracking. And so ever since I got into my own practice and then returned back to my spiritual stuff, like I was able to come right back to the Vipassana work because it just wow. feels so, like so strongly connected. So that's it. And then just our Buddhist meditation classes that include yeah. meditations.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the one thing that I've really taken from the whole Vipassana, what they're doing, because so many guests that have come on already, that's where they began, is the Vipassana mm. retreats, jumping mm. into a 10-day silent retreat. That's like, that's crazy to me, you know, I would be so afraid to. But what it's really shown me is like, they have just stayed true to their practice. You know, they mm. haven't changed to say, well, society's like this, so mm. let's be like this. They're like, no, mm. we're Vipassana and this is what we do. And mm. how it really has attracted so many people just by them staying their true, authentic selves.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of it. And I think, you know, the simplicity of it, like, I love Buddhism and some of the meditations are quite complex or even scary, you know, like when you're contemplating certain suffering or death, right? Vipassana is so, so simple. Focus on the breath, track sensation, and that's it really. And then the fact that, you know, it's free and you just donate what you want. I mean, that's a pretty
that's
amazing,
the other amazing thing. Yeah.
yeah.
That
yeah.
really is the other amazing thing. Wow. So thank you so much for sharing all this. This was definitely mm-hmm. a different kind of, you know, it talk than I've had with many other, but I appreciate it because I have never heard of the orgasmic meditation. So I'm going to be meditating on it because I definitely want to give it a try because I need to feel my emotions more. Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy thing for people mm-hmm. to do. I think most people.
Yeah. We can talk more about that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of my biggest passions.
Yeah. So thank you for opening up my listeners and the world to this very different type of meditation that is really profound and life-changing, it sounds like.
Mm. Yeah, my pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you for having me today.
Thank
you. This is so fun.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Meditate on this podcast. I hope you were inspired today. If you're not a subscriber, go ahead and subscribe so you'll be notified of every story as they're shared. I would be so grateful if you left a review, rated it, and shared it with a friend. This helps bring these inspiring messages to more people in the world. And if you'd like to bring more peace and happiness into your life and you're interested in starting a meditation practice, make sure you join my free meditation challenge. You can sign up for it at meditateonthispodcast.com or there's a link in the show notes below. For daily inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at Angela Accomando. Have a wonderful day. And remember, there's transformation through meditation. Ciao for now.